Welcome to the morning show, Sajeev. Recently, I think a few days ago, you have announced around about 360, 370 crores of investments in your six subsidiaries. So just wanted to understand, many of these subsidiaries do not have any revenues also. So what is the whole sort of plan now with these investments?
Well, these subsidiaries largely are vehicles through which we invest in various different startups. Therefore, the ultimate purpose of this money is to continue our investment activity into various different startups.
You had said that you're starting the 750 crore fund, and you had made many investments, like, you know, I remember Bulbul and very other areas. So how has that sort of grown? What has been your sort of success rate in
early days yet? Because we began the fund only 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, typically, I mean, for example, in Zomato, we were in there for 11 years, still holding. Mm-hmm. Policy was 13 years, still holding. So it takes 3 to 4 years for these investments to come to any sort of fruition where you can confidently say, okay, this is working, this is not working. So it's still work in progress.
So which are the areas that you are looking at? Because obviously the whole startup space, you have, I'm quite sure, whole host of offers coming in.
So the broad areas are, you know, what they were earlier, consumer internet, B2B, SaaS, mobile, and obviously emerging technologies, machine learning, AI, analytics, all that. But, you know, typically we do not go in saying, here's a vertical, let's look at it. We do it bottom up. We meet startups and the ones we like, we invest behind. We meet maybe 1,000 a quarter and look at 1,000 a quarter and then figure out which ones to look.
I mean, you look at around about 1,000 startups and then take a decision.
In a quarter. In a quarter.
In a quarter.
And we'll invest into maybe 2 to 3 of them.
What is the change that you see in the startups today compared to, say, around about, you know, 10, 12, 13 years ago when you started?
I think many more startups, B, many new technologies, C, very smart and ambitious founders. I mean, they're getting better and better by the every passing year. Mm-hmm. So when I compare to when we were starting out, and I look at myself when I was, we launched Naukria when I was 33, 34. When I look at people who are 33, 34 today and are starting out, I mean, they're streets ahead of what I was. Yeah, so they're, you know, so I think that's the way, you know, the ecosystem progresses. You get better and better people doing better and better startups, more and more investors coming in into those startups, a lot more capital being deployed, hopefully much larger outcomes being delivered.
From the normal private equity funds, which look at an exit route within 5, 6, 7 years, you have obviously been very different in many ways, because you have stuck around for a longer while.
We haven't just stuck around. We've continued to invest. For example, we invested first in Policy Bazaar in 2008 and we invested last in 2019. You know, so we invested over 11-year period. So look, what India needs is patient capital, because it typically takes a decade or more to build a good company. Mm-hmm. Right? And if you have a 6, 8, 7 year exit time horizon, then perhaps, you know, you end up putting undue pressure on the company. Mm. And they make suboptimal decisions, or perhaps you exit too early and don't make enough money. Mm. So we've been in Zomato for 11 years. And the real value accretion, a lot of it came in the last 3 years, which means year 9, 10, 11. Mm. Right? Mm. Now, a regular fund would exit by year 6, 7, 8. Mm. Mm. So okay. In India, you know, you've got to be patient. And therefore, because we invested from our balance sheet, we were able to be patient. We did not have somebody else's money to return in 6, 7, 8 years. Right? Mm. Even the fund that we today have established, first of all, there are only 2 LPs. Both LPs have got long-term time horizons on India and believe in the India story. And both have prop money. Right? And our fund is 12 plus 2 years. It's one of the longest funds, VC funds in India. So we have enough time.
Okay.
We believe good founders need time.
If you look at the whole interest in IPOs with startups, many of them, which is like Zomato, which is already over, and obviously Paytm came in, and then there's a series of other, big valuation companies which have said that they are going to go for an IPO. And if you look at the valuation of those companies, I mean, for example, Baiju at $18.5-19 billion. Paytm is a clear case that the valuation that they thought and what the market was able to, there's a big gap and a big difference. Therefore, the question a lot of people ask is that, is these companies overvalued? And ultimately, in the end of the day, the retailer gets to basically hold on the worst part of the break in the whole process.
Well, you have to go IPO by IPO, company by company, right? And each company is different, right? So take a look at Zomato. I think 76 or 78 rupees offer price. It's at close to 150 now, almost double. Look at Policy Bazaar. You know, I don't track it every day, but it's a good 25% above, 30% above offer price. Look at Nykaa. Nykaa, when I last check, was more than 100% above. I don't know what it is today.
Yeah.
Look at LatentView Analytics. Right? You know, it's more than 100%. I think 150% above offer price. Of course, just for 3 days. But what I'm saying is that each company is different. And I wouldn't call a Zomato investor somebody who's lost out. I wouldn't call a Policy Bazaar investor somebody who's lost out. I wouldn't call a Nykaa investor somebody who's lost out. I wouldn't call a LatentView investor somebody who's lost out. So I think you really have to be a little bit more discerning, granular, and figure out that, you know, you'll understand that in a lot of IPOs, investors have made a lot of money. And let me also tell you, Paytm, while it may have gone down, it's gone up 11% per day for the last 2 days. So there seems to be some recovery happening. It's not yet back to the IPO offer price levels. But look, like I've said it elsewhere, yes, market, it debuted softly with a, you know, with a drawdown over offer price, but it's coming back. And let, you know, and I've said this in another channel, I mean, take a look at a company like Infosys. It had a problem in 1993 getting past the finish line on the IPO. It went on to be a great company. Take a look at Facebook. In a few months from the IPO, it was down to by about 70% from its offer price. I think maybe 60%. I don't recall the exact number. And then it came back. So if a company is fundamentally good, right, and is growing and the underlying is good, valuations come back.
Okay. So one should not bother about so much about the valuation in the stock market because sort of...
Well, no, obviously one should bother. You know, but all I'm saying is that just because one IPO has currently below offer price, it's not the end of the world. There are many others that are not. And this one too has gained 11% a day for the last 2 days.
People are used to seeing profitability, which there is no clarity of the profitability of many of the companies which have gone IPO and which are also are doing well in a market where obviously even most unknown companies are also going up by 100%, et cetera, and all this stuff because there's a lot of speculation, there's a lot of hype. If you look at most of the IPOs which have come in, they have not given a very clear picture of profitability, of when they will become profitable. So is that an area of concern for these companies, for investors who have invested?
So I think let's first of all understand the SEBI rules for loss-making companies going public. 75% of the IPO has to be allotted to institutional investors, whether Indian or foreign investors. Now, institutional investors do their research thoroughly. They have access to data. They have analysts. They don't go in without proper diligence and study. So if IPOs have done well, if a Zomato was subscribed 38 to 40X, Policy Bazaar, you know, 18x, and you know, Nykaa over 80x, right? And you know, many of these have lots of institutional investors. I think people have done their homework and gone, right? So, which means that you have smart investors, knowledgeable investors going in and taking the bulk of the allocation. Right? They must be seeing something, okay? Now, as far as profits are concerned, I think. I haven't really looked under the hood in any companies other than Zomato and Policy Bazaar because those are the ones we've invested in. I believe both of these companies can turn profitable should they want to with some notice, maybe 2-3 quarters. Right? It's just that growth may come off a bit. And today they're probably prioritizing growth over profit. Mm-hmm. And that's a story they told their investors. That's what they said, we are prioritizing growth over profit. And that's what, for example, Zomato consistently says. Right? So it's not as if they've said something and done something else. Mm-hmm. People know what to expect. They came with eyes open. They are invested. Most are holding on. And the price is almost 100% above the IPO offer price. Because that's what people are buying, the growth story. Now, at some point in time, will they have to, turn the switch and say, okay, let's go for profit now next 3-4 quarters? Maybe 2-3 years, they might have to. But let's wait and see. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, yeah. Okay. Thanks a lot.
For more news, views, and updates, subscribe to Business Standard on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, and Spotify. Also, follow us on YouTube, Vimeo, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn.